This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Check them out at betterhelp.com/morningstream and get 10% off your first month. Coming up on TMS, does podcasting ring a bell?
Nipples always come up.
Internet killed the radio star.
The 12th, fifth Beatle.
Hey, Jude. I get to sing all these. Hey, Jude. I love Sean Moore.
Why can't we get back to eating tuna safe dolphin?
Dump the props into the thing with Bill.
Store it in your memory deal.
Hold on. I'm not supposed to read that Bill thing twice. That's
supposed to be later.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me kill that. I didn't even get a good news streak today. Okay. I'll do store it in your memory deal. All right. Here we go. Stored in your memory deal.
The card says get.
I don't like geese.
He's almost the Martian.
We named the dog Martha.
I made these cat turds out of resin with Bill.
Practice good self-nipple care with Ice Ice Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You know how many times I peed in a f***ing Gatorade bottle when I couldn't find a f***ing bathroom? Plenty of f***ing times. Mm-hmm. And how many times I forgot I peed in that Gatorade bottle and drank that shit? Once.
It could all be cute, Opie.
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, December 14th, 2021. I'm Scott. He's Brian.
I am Brian. I am. Yeah. You know, that van clip, I think it cracks me up more every time I hear it. Like, it amplifies, because this last time it felt like he was channeling the weird Swahili dialect from the beginning of The Gods Must Be Crazy. Like, he's this far from putting a...
I put little pots in there. Yeah. Oh, man. Do you remember what a force of nature that movie was when we were of a certain age?
So great.
That was so weird. Great. Like, it came out of nowhere. They paid nothing to make it. It was like this huge overnight hit. It was like it's viral in a time where we don't think of things being viral. Yeah. And it was like massively huge. The Gods Must Be Crazy. And then they tried to make a sequel. And that sequel was bad.
It was garbage, yeah. My our sociology teacher in high school, I guess, took a day off from teaching us and put up that movie.
Oh, wow.
I later found out, by the way, like later, and by later, I mean like a couple weeks ago, through a mutual friend, I was introduced to somebody who graduated a year or two before me. And so we spent the entire evening saying, oh, do you remember, did you have this person as a teacher? And did you have this person as a teacher? And this, you know, this person. And I brought up that sociology teacher because I always found her. I mean, she was really pretty. And she was one of the teachers that had made the most impact on me as a student, right? Mm-hmm. I think about the stuff that we talked about in that class more than almost any other class in high school.
Sure. Not just because she was cute, but, you know.
Not just because she was cute, but because it was like, you know, I love sociology. It's probably why I like reality shows torturing you guys for trivia and things like that.
Sure.
But so I said, I'm not going to use her name. So I said, I'll use Miss
Wilson.
Ketterman. I'll say Miss Miss Wilson. All right, I'll say Miss Wilson.
Wilson. All right. We like it. Go ahead.
So we're talking about teachers. And I said, oh, did you have Miss Wilson? And I was about to say, yeah, she was great. And he said, oh, yeah, man, she slept with all the students.
No! Like, is that true?
Well, I asked for some clarification. And he's like, well, I'd be not all of them, obviously. But apparently there were rumors floating around that. And I'm like... Oh, damn.
It wasn't you.
I thought I was one of her favorite students. Damn.
I'm sorry, Brian. It's not that kind of relationship. I just want you to learn and grow.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had any teachers that had that rumor.
It was funny because it was the first thing out of his mouth as soon as I said her name.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had a teacher who was... I mean, I don't know, this would be seen differently today, I think. But in 1985, I'd have been a junior, a sophomore, I guess, whatever I was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we had a math teacher who was gay, It was like one of these secrets that everybody knew, but it was supposed to be not known, but he was gay. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that's fine. But the big mm-hmm. rumor was that him and the janitor were getting it on at
we're
night.
A couple.
Yeah. And that he'd like
after hours or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he'd stay yeah. after hours like grading papers, but really he was down in the the gym or whatever. Him and I can't remember that guy's name. It was Mr. Carter. I don't mind saying his name. He's probably long gone.
Mr.
I don't know.
God.
It was Mr. Yeah. Carter. We thought that was pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, that was our thing. The janitor was male, and he was male. And we mm-hmm. in 1985, we thought that was a real hoot because, you know,
yeah.
back then.
Yeah, I mean, back then.
Different
right.
attitudes.
I mean,
we learned our lesson, though.
You know, there was a friend of mine in, God, all right, this would go back, elementary school, sixth grade, because we went to outdoor lab. And it was always assumed that he was gay. I mean, even back then.
Yeah.
But I was friends with him, and he was my bunkmate. And now that I think about it, when we went to outdoor lab and we had to stay in the cabin, and we were looking at bunks, he was my bunkmate, because we had the top bunk and bottom bunk. He asked me if I was a top or a bottom. And now that I think about it, that might have had some different meaning back
then.
Yeah,
it might have been some hints in there.
Might have been asking me something. I don't know,
Brian. Maybe that window closed. Well, anyway, it's good to see you all. We hope you're well. I get a booster today, so I hope I stay well. But getting the old COVID booster. I had to reschedule it. It was originally scheduled, but it was scheduled right in the smack middle of my sinus infection. They won't give you the booster if you're sick. So mm-hmm. I'm good enough now. The antibiotics have done enough of their job to jab me. So that's today after the show. Actually, right after the show, I got to run over there and get her done.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's going
to be. I'm sure it'll go well. You didn't have a reaction to the first two, so I don't think you're going to have a reaction to this one.
Yeah, it should be okay. Sam mentions in the chat, and we heard from Randy over the weekend, right after FilmSack, his booster kicked in, and it just floored him, just wrecked him.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also had a kind of a reaction to the second one, so my guess
exactly.
is my
I
first
think that's
two
how
nothing.
That goes.
Yeah. Yeah, my first two were nothing for me, so I don't expect I'll have much.
Although they say if you get it when you're just coming off of a cold,
great,
a really bad cold that comes from a toddler. Yeah. I don't know, man. Those stories I hear from that are just horrible.
I hear it's bad if you've been playing Halo. You're gonna have a
right, exactly. There. Yes, yeah.
We'll see how that goes. Anyway, so that's today, but we have other things to discuss. For example. Found a little something I thought you might find interesting. It's, again, from our era, sort of, more early 90s, but, you know, pre-internet or right as the internet was about to happen, Bill Gates went on David Letterman, and he did it to, I guess this is mid-95, so this is a little well into the 90s, but he went into Letterman's show in 1995 as part of a promotional tour, Bill Gates running around the country talking to talk shows and stuff for Windows 95. And this question came up, and Dave's reaction, though, you know, it's comedic because he needs to be comedic. I get that. But it also, I think, is a telling thing about the time where we really didn't know what this quote unquote new internet thing was. And I just thought the clip was interesting. So I'm going to play it. All right. So here's that clip.
But you know, I think about this. And what about this internet thing? Do you know anything about that?
Sure.
What the hell is that exactly?
Well, it's become a place where people are publishing information.
Right.
So everybody can have their own homepage. Companies are there. The latest information. It's wild what's going on. You can send electronic mail to people. It is the big new thing.
Yeah, but you know, it's easy to criticize something you don't fully understand, which is my position here.
Go ahead.
But I can remember a couple of months ago, there was like a big breakthrough announcement that on the internet or on some computer deal, they were going to broadcast a baseball game. You could listen to a baseball game on your computer. And I just thought to myself, does radio ring a bell? You know what I mean?
Swap that for podcast just for the heck of it.
Yeah, like, right, exactly.
Radio show, and you'll get why this was interesting to me. So anyway, here's
Dave, it's actually how people are going to get all their porn in the future.
here's the rest of it.
Difference.
There is a difference.
It's not a huge difference.
What is the difference?
But you can listen to the baseball game whenever you want.
Right.
Too.
Oh, I see. So it's stored in one of your memory deals.
Exactly.
And then you can
That's
come back
the RAM
a year
thing
later.
You talked about earlier.
Yeah. Do tape recorders ring a bell?
Okay, so I just thought, like, you know, as much as it's Dave just trying to be funny, it's also kind of shows everybody's brain at the time of, like,
yeah, exactly. Like,
why would you want to do that?
Well, I can go to a library and find books. I could do this and get, you know, a newspaper and get published works.
Yeah, I thought that was great. So, great. And there's lots of other stuff. Like, for example, Icor says it, radio has limited range. Radio has, interference, right? There's like a sound quality issue. There's a million little caveats you could throw around this thing that we would all understand now,
right?
You know, we're all running around with Spotify and Apple Music and a million other services in our head, and podcast players and all this stuff, and we don't even think about it, but you know, at the time, it must have seemed insane to a lot of people. Like,
in 25 years, you're gonna have a show, Mr. Letterman, that is only available via streaming.
Right.
People will have to...
And your beard will be snowy white and 40 feet long. Can you believe it?
And Schaefer will still be bald.
Yeah, and you'll go, ha, Dad, Paul, ha, 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 Paul, he'll say. Well, anyway, thought you'd enjoy that.
Paul!
Hey, speaking of stumping... No, there's no speaking of. I have no transition.
Yeah, speaking of stumping Brian, let's stump...
A very cool listener sent something into me that we have to do. And let me see if I can find it. Hold on. Okay. It's right here. There it is. Okay. So this is the person who sent it in, Tim Watson. I want to thank him for this because it's awesome.
He's almost the dentist from Seinfeld.
Right. He almost is. It'd be, if it was Watley, we'd all
He's almost the Martian. So
he said, hey, you know, look, sounds like Brian's Mr. Music guy and always talks about the Beatles this time of year. Why don't you stump him on some Beatles questions? And I said, that'd be fun. Let's do that. So, Brian, I'm going to give you some questions here. If you get them right, you hear this. You get it wrong. And this is our chance to throw questions at Brian because he's always quizzing us. And, you know, it's nice to turn the tables.
I like when the tables are turned. I like being quizzed.
Yeah, why not? So here's his first question. Let's see how you do. These are multiple choice. There are 12 of them in total. According to the Beatles song, what is the capacity of the Royal Albert Hall in London?
Well, now they know how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall. let's see. It's...
Do you want to know? Or I won't even give you the options if you just know it.
I think it's... I might need the options. I think it's 100... 1,000 holes in Blackford, Lancashire. Let me have the choices.
Is it A, 3,000, B, 1,234, C, 4,000, or D, 10,000?
Oh, shoot. 10,000 holes in Blackford, Lancashire. 10,000, I think, is right.
Is it 10,000? Incorrect. No. The answer is 4,000 holes in 4,000? Blackford, Lancashire. And now they know how many holes it takes to fill it. All right.
Here's how many holes it takes to fill the Albert Hall.
There you go.
It's
all right.
Turn.
It was
keep going.
An early, you know, just an early get you wet kind of. Wet your whistle.
I'm wet. Thank
okay.
you.
Great.
Thank
you. That was the wrong terminology. Okay, here we go. Who in August 1962 advised Neil Aspinall to stay on as the Beatles' road manager when he was considering quitting? Was it A, Pete Best, B, Paul McCartney, C, Pete Best's mother, Mona. D, Brian Epstein?
I was going to say, Brian Epstein would have been my guess. He was the Beatles producer before George Martin, and that would have been my guess without hearing the choices.
So you can stick with that one then?
Keeping him on as road manager. Yeah, I'm gonna say Brian Epstein.
Brian Epstein, is that correct? Pete Best, actually.
Oh, really? It was Pete Best?
Yeah, it says when
one
Pete
of
Best...
the one of the 12 people lovingly called the fifth Beatle. There really are. It's like, I don't know about there being 12, but there are a bunch of people who, oh yeah, he's like the fifth Beatle. George Martin, Brian Epstein.
Sure.
Lots.
Now, what's funny, here's some added info. When Pete Best was sacked in August of 62, he persuaded his best friend Neil Aspinall to stay with the Beatles. Neil Aspinall at the time was in a relationship with Mona Best, his mother.
Oh, his mom, okay.
Neil Aspinall later became managing director of Apple Corps, which is their
recording their label
deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
Billy
Preston,
another fifth Beatle. Yeah.
And then a long, long lawsuit would happen with Apple Computers. It was
a long and winding road that came from that.
Decades. all right, next one. What is the relationship between the subject of the Beatles song Dear Prudence and the person nicknamed Old Blue Eyes? So what is the relationship? Oh,
wow. Okay, so, well, Old Blue Eyes is Frank Sinatra. Prudence is a John Lennon song, but John Lennon had a crappy upbringing. Like, his mother didn't even live in the same house, lived down the street in, like, a different house, kind of disowned John Lennon's father and John.
Jeez, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure Prudence is not, I don't want to say, no, Martha was the dog. What made you say that name? Let's see. Prudence, who would that been about?
Do you want the options? I can give you the options.
Oh, yeah, let me have the options.
All right, here
yeah,
you go. Thanks. Sister and brother-in-law, there was no relationship is B. C, daughter and father, or D, wife and husband.
Okay, well, daughter would have been Nancy Sinatra. I'm ruling that one out. Sister, brother-in-law. What was the last one you said? Brother and sister?
Husband and wife. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say husband and wife. I'm going to say one of Frank Sinatra's wives was the inspiration for Dear Prudence.
Is that the correct answer?
Jeez.
Incorrect. The answer is sister and brother-in-law. Prudence Farrow, whose sister Mia Farrow was married at the time to Old Blue Eyes Frank Sinatra. Yep.
Prudence Farrow. I didn't know that. Okay, yeah. Cool.
I didn't know. I always forget that Mia Farrow, even after seeing that documentary, was married to Frank for a while. I forget all about that.
Yeah.
All right. What part did Mark Dingham, Philip Gard, and John Bining play in the making of the Beatles song I Am the Walrus? Here are your options.
Wow. Yeah, I'll better take those options because I don't know any of those damn names. Oh, my God. These are tough.
These are tough. They were the costume designers for the promo film of, for the promo film, promo of the film, I Am the Walrus. Yeah. B, they were members of the Stream of Consciousness Therapy group that attended John Lennon and are credited as additional lyrics on the record, or four additional lyrics. C, they were session musicians for the song, or D, they were actors in a radio play featuring the song.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Geez, I mean, there are a whole bunch of backing vocals at the end of that song chanting, jumper, jumper, stick it up your jumper, something like that. I can't remember what the actual line is, but that's what it's been written as. I'm going to say they're the Stream of Consciousness, the John Lennon thing.
Let's find out if that's the correct answer. Incorrect. Jeez. The answer is they were actors in a radio play featuring this song. Who would know that?
Really?
Though? Who would know that? No one.
In a radio play? That was the one I ruled out immediately.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Actors in a radio play. All right. Well,
I would have as well. All right. Which of these so-called fifth Beatles appeared in the 1978 Peter Frampton and Bee Gees movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
Okay. All right.
A, Pete Best. B, George Martin, not to be confused with George R.R. Martin, just George Martin.
Just George Martin.
Yeah. C, Billy Preston, or D, Eric Clapton.
Ooh. Man, Billy Preston was my first thought. And I'm going to stick with Billy Preston because his funk would have fit in perfectly with that Bee Gees abomination.
Well, you are correct. Nicely
finally
done.
Jeez, Billy I Preston, needed one.
Billy Preston appears as Sergeant Pepper. George Martin worked on the soundtrack but did not appear in the thing.
Oh, really? He was Sergeant Pepper? How did I not remember that? I remember George Burns as Maxwell and his silver hammer. I remember Aerosmith doing Come Together.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I forgot that Billy Preston was Sergeant Pepper himself.
Now, here's one. I don't know how you'd ever know this, but here you go.
Okay.
Which actor from the Beatles film A Hard Day's Night is connected to the Sanford and Son character Fred Sanford as played by Red Fox? So which actor from Hard Day's Night is connected to Sanford and Son?
Connected. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And your answers are A.
I hope Lamont is a choice.
A, Victor Spinetti. B, Wilford Bramble. C, Anna Quayle. Or D, Lionel Blair. I don't know any of these people.
I'm going to say the first one because that's the only name that actually sounds familiar.
Victor Spinetti?
Spinetti, yeah.
All right, let's see if there's any Spinetti spaghetti here. Here we go. Let's find out. Oh, it's incorrect.
I'm all right not knowing that one. Yeah.
It's Wilford Bramble. He started, let's see, Albert Zimbabwe, the equivalent of Fred Sanford in Hard Day's Night, but he played Paul's clean grandfather. Okay, that's a weird
Paul's
one.
Clean ground. Okay,
yeah, it's weird.
God, I've only seen that once. You know, that was one. That's funny. That it is funny. This is actually funny. I saw that because back when Apple was introducing QuickTime, we were developers, and they really wanted us to do a lot of stuff with QuickTime. So we got a big box of promo stuff, and one of the things in there was a CD with the QuickTime of A Hard Day's Night, the entirety of the film. This is before weird. DVDs and stuff.
Oh, weird. That's weird.
Yeah, so we got a CD containing the entirety of Hard Day's Night from Apple.
What
I might even still have that somewhere.
What was the format? How'd you play it? Was it like just
we
the AVI?
Played it with QuickTime on our, I don't remember what the format was, Qt1 or Qt4?
But just some file? That's all it was?
Just some file, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Like on a CD. I mean, we had to put the CD in, we had to launch QuickTime, and it would play it on our Performa 630s or whatever we were using for development back then.
Nice. Yeah, my memory is that there was a period of time where some CDs, they were pushing a format where CDs would autoplay certain formats, but your player had to be compatible with doing it.
Yes.
And I don't remember what that was.
Yeah, we also got the Residence Freak Show, and I was a big Residence fan anyway. It's these four guys who wear giant eyeballs. They dress in tuxedos with top hats.
Yeah.
And then they have giant eyeballs for heads, Residents.
Wow.
And
that's pretty cool.
And anyway, they gave us their entire Freak Show interactive experience.
Weird. Well, all right. Here's your next one.
Yeah.
You just watch this, so this may help. Peter Jackson's film Get Back covers the period before Ringo Starr goes off to make the Magic Christian movie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who was Ringo Starr's co-star from the Magic Christian? Oh. Was it A?
He even appears in the film. I'll answer this without...
good.
It's Peter Sellers, who shows up and just sits around like a bump on a log while the band is talking about, I don't know, something. Yeah.
You are correct. Well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Inspector Clouseau himself.
Yeah, the options on here were Eric Idle, Michael Crawford, Barbara Bach, and Peter Sellers, and you absolutely got it right.
Barbara Bach showed up too because she wasn't married to Ringo at the time. She married Ringo afterwards, and they're still married, I think.
Yeah, they're together. She's the one in the Caveman movie with him, right?
Caveman, yeah.
Yeah, that movie is a piece of holy shit.
Yes, it is.
It's so bad, Ringo.
I bet it's better though if you compare it to the Magic Christian.
Probably
really bad things about the Magic
I have
Christian.
Never even seen hide nor hair of that. I've only heard of it, and I have no idea what to expect from it. I wouldn't mind seeing that. We should film sack that.
We should film sack that.
All right, here we go. What connects? This is a weird one. What connects Richard A. Cook III? Mm-hmm. Eleanor Braun, Julian Lennon, and Meta Davis.
Oh, these are all people who are sort of named in Beatles songs. So let me hear the choices, because I know Julian is Jude. Eleanor, it was used for Eleanor Rigby, but let me hear the choices in case that's not one of them.
So that whole Jude thing being heroin is bullcrap. That it was never true.
Yeah. Okay. No. But Blue Lucy and the Sky with Diamonds is LSD.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Wait, what Strawberry Fields? What do we got there? What do we got going there?
The rumor, and I don't think this was, the rumor was that it was the track marks left on your arm from shooting up.
Oh. Everybody wanted to make everything a drug reference back
then. They absolutely did. It's like, it's the same way, you know, they said, well, Paul's dead because, you know, if you play this backwards, it sounds like they're saying Paul is dead.
Yeah. This stuff is so stupid. I kind of loved it when I was younger, but it's stupid now. Anyway.
It's stupid now. All right.
Let me hear the
options.
Here are your options. A, they are all featured in the Beatles film Help. B, they were members of a pop group that performed Lennon and McCartney songs in the 1968 Eurovision Song Contest. That's a dumb one.
That's a great, wow. I mean, this someone went deep with the, I love whoever wrote these.
Yeah, these are really great. They were inspirations for Beatles songs, or D, they were members of a short-lived Beatles tribute act formed by Julian Lennon. Obviously, C was the
I'm sticking with C. Now, so let me have those names again, because I got Julian, I got Eleanor Rigby. Who are the...
We got Richard A. Cook III, Eleanor Braun, and Meta Davis.
Meta Davis. I wonder if... Richard A. Cook was the inspiration for Mr. Kite and The Benefit of Mr. Kite. Interesting. I'll have to look those up and see what songs those two inspired.
So Hey Jude.
Meta Davis.
If Hey Jude is just
it's Julian.
Yeah, hey, Julian.
Don't be sad about your parents' divorce.
Was that?
Is basically what that was. Yeah.
And then, but that kid just got left in the dust.
Man. He really did. Yeah. Hey, Jude.
I'm leaving.
I
now.
Love Sean Moore. Gonna treat him like he's related.
Where are they now? Are they around? They're around, right? Him and Sean, yeah. They're doing stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to say that I think they might have both been involved. I know a lot of the surviving or the Beatles' children were involved with, or maybe they just all got together and watched Get Back when it got released or something.
Oh, okay. That's, I don't know. I actually really need to see that. I haven't watched it yet. Everybody's telling me to see it. Okay. Final two questions. Here you go. Who first said that Ringo wasn't even the best drummer in the Beatles? Okay.
Ringo said it first.
Was it John Lennon? Was it Jasper Carrot? Was it Paul McCartney? Or was it Philip Pope?
Oh, man. So in Get Back, they read an article from the Daily Mail that kind of talks about the Beatles being past their prime and they're doing all this stuff. And I want to say Philip Pope was the... I might be wrong. I think Philip Pope was the writer of that. I'm going to say Philip Pope.
All right, let's see if it's Philip Pope. Is it Philip Pope? It is Philip Pope. Cool. It's fun to say that name. Here's some background. So for many years, comedian Jasper Carrot was thought to have said it first, but it was first said by the actor Philip Pope in a 1981 sketch written by Jeffrey Perkins, that one you mentioned, for the BBC comedy show Radioactive. By the way, earlier we were asking who Richard A. Cook was the inspiration for what song. He's Bungalow Bill is who that is.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Oh, the children sing.
Yeah, that's the guy. All right, final question. I think you're doing all right at this stage.
I might have turned things around about halfway through this.
Yeah, and considering the high difficulty level of the thing, I think you've done pretty good.
Yeah, these are tough.
Here's your final one. Who did John Lennon publicly describe as a stupid get?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Here are your options.
Sir Walter Raleigh, I think, but let me hear the choices.
Paul McCartney, Walter Raleigh, Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, or Tommy Smothers and the Smothers Brothers.
They're really keeping with the Bungalow Bill. Sir Walter Raleigh, he was such a stupid git. No.
Well, by the way.
Oh, no, that was I'm So Tired, not Bungalow Bill. That's also from the White Album.
And for the record, chat, it probably is supposed to be git, but it's written here as get. So that's why.
Oh, really? That. Okay. Yeah. Such a stupid git.
Yeah. It means git. You say Walter Raleigh? Is that
Sir Walter Raleigh? Yeah.
You are correct. Well done. Yeah. You did it.
Thanks.
Brian, I didn't keep track, but you did well.
I'm sure somebody out there.
Somebody
did.
Out there kept track. You can tell good, Brian what
good,
a score.
Good set. Who's the person who sent that in? I think is in there, right? Greg.
Yes. The name once again is. Hold on, I have it right here. That was from Tim Watson who put that together.
Tim Watson. Oh yeah, of course. Right. The Martian.
TRPW in the chat.
TRPW. Right there. Wow. So the T Tim and the W Watson, and you have two middle names?
Yeah. What's that about? Or does that sound? Does that sound for only will P West or something like that? What's your deal? Now we must know
RP,
more.
RP.
Yeah, that was great.
Real
I like
player.
Doing these.
Tim, real player Watson.
He's a real player. I like it. All right, I love doing those sort of things. So thanks for that, Tim. That was awesome. All right.
Yes,
Brian, tell us about this horrible news because this is bad.
Yeah,
stuff.
No kidding, boy. We have to go from that to this. So, some sad news going on here in the Ibbett household, specifically Tina's family. Her dad, a couple months ago, was diagnosed with squamous cell carcinoma and previously had a blood cancer that required him going through chemo. He went through chemo, came out, and we thought things were going to be okay.
Yeah.
The squamous cell carcinoma has kind of... you know, devastated his health, and it was so far along that there was really nothing they could do to treat it except kind of just extend his life by having him do some chemotherapy and Taxol and stuff like that. So, they basically said, yeah, we're looking probably at like 6 months. Well, that changed this last weekend with him contracting COVID somehow. We don't know where, but somehow Jim got COVID, and the COVID just basically accelerated everything. And he's got blood clotting in his lungs, which is something that, COVID, you know, can cause in, circumstances.
And this cancer is a lung-based cancer, right? It's a...
The squamous cell carcinoma can be a lot of different things. It can be bone. It can be... it can manifest in different places. And I can't remember where it was. The blood clotting has definitely come from the lungs, but I think...
Right.
I don't remember if the squamous cell carcinoma. So... So he's in the hospital. Yeah. He's in, he's being moved to hospice care. And I did something that I never, you know, 18 months ago, never would have expected that I would have done, but I, as well as Tina and her mom, suited up in full gown, face mask, gloves, a shield, face shield, and went into his hotel room. So kind of exposed, all of our health to potentially getting COVID. But I don't, we could not have done it, right? Like, you know, it's a situation where you've got to.
Yeah. And you're quarantined now. That's the thing. Is you're
self-quarantining. I've had it's funny. He's had the vax and boosters, which probably is what, has made things so so much better than they probably could have been for his wife, for Connie.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know how much worse things could be for him, but for her, the fact that she's been vaxxed and boosted as well is probably what's kept her from getting it this whole time. Yeah. So I'm self-quarantining. Talked to Dr. Tolbert basically 4 days after our last interaction with him. I'm going to take the test and see if I've got it, or sooner if I have any symptoms. But so no puzzle pint tonight, no Spider-Man Thursday, no, you know, whatever. That's fine. Obviously, those are such insignificant.
Even Spider-Man. You guys might think that Brian would do anything for Spider-Man, but no.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not going to potentially infect an entire theater full of people.
Yeah,
because I can't. I can't rip on people who are jerks with COVID and be one of them myself. So I obviously have to.
You don't
want to
be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy. So
I don't like this world we're living in of resurgent cancers. My wife's sister. You know, I told the story about her stage 4 colon cancer. They thought they got it all. She went in for a new test. She's got like 8 new tumors, and they're all moved into her abdomen. And it's all this mess now. And now we don't know how long that's going to take or what the deal is. She finds out today, I think, what the plan's going to be or what the, you know, all of that. What, she's a lot younger, but man, it's just like cancer.
Which is even worse, right? I mean, it's bad. It's horrible regardless. But man, when it's somebody young, it's even worse.
Yeah, it's terrible. She's not even in her 50s yet. She's like 48, I think.
Yeah.
Her sister.
So, man, and like I said, we went to the hospital yesterday, and I can tell you just firsthand, seeing the hospital workers and how overworked and stretched the limit. Basically, beds at the hospital are, if somebody checks out, somebody leaves, they turn that room around and somebody's in there that same day in that same bed, because there's so many COVID cases. And the current count is like 81% of the people taking up hospital beds right now in Colorado are unvaccinated.
Yeah.
So if there's people listening who are unvaccinated, you know, maybe it's time. Pull up your big boy pants, get the shot.
It's no big deal. Super easy.
Well, pull down your big boy pants, get the shot in your butt, or pull up your big boy sleeves and get in the arm.
Well, it definitely sounds like he's on, you know, this is your, instead of the months you were going to get, or even the weeks.
I know we were thinking, all right, we'll get Christmas with him. We did Christmas. Like, we gave him a Christmas present last night. We picked up when we were in Ireland, picked up the coat of arms for his family had it framed. And we knew, you know, that this might be the opportunity.
Yeah, he loved it.
Oh my God, his face lit up. He is in amazingly the best spirits. He is such a strong, positive person. So, he's he's taking this in tremendous stride. And he still has hope and whatever. What I'm not going to stop people from.
No, heck no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All the best to them and to Tina, of course. And as someone who's lost their father, it doesn't matter what process or when it happens. It's bad. It sucks.
It's never easy. Yeah.
Well, so there you go. There's our dark part of the morning news.
Yeah. So sorry, folks, to kind of bring things down after that great Beatles quiz, but,
we go.
I figure if people on Friday are going to say, Brian, what'd you think of Spider-Man? I'm going to have to say, I didn't see it.
I didn't see it. No spoilers, please.
Oh, listen, if anybody does want to take their phone into a showing and stream it for me, I'll happily.
Yeah, you got any Plex server folks
out
there?
No, that's a movie I don't want to see on anything but a big screen, even if it's my own big screen here, but we'll be in theaters before it finally comes to video.
Yeah, so. There you go. I would think so. I would think it'll hang out there for a bit.
Corey, yeah, we've got the AMC stubs, so there's no refund. We just basically, we get 12 movies a month and so there's no, I don't have to worry about getting a refund. I'm excited for whoever looks today and gets those tickets that we got right in the middle of the packed, completely, you know, sold out theater. Good for you guys.
Yeah, well done. Somebody checked and did it, I'm sure. Already. Yeah. Somebody's got your spot. They have no idea.
Somebody has, yeah, exactly. Like, whoa, how are these seats available all of a sudden?
Yeah, their minds are blown. All right.
Anyway,
we'll launch into
our best
some...
to Tina and her family and
yeah.
Obviously Tina's who I'm most worried about because I'm sure, I'm a bald fat guy and COVID ain't good for me, but she's immune compromised because of her previous cancer and that sort of thing. So keeping her safe is my number one priority.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my big worry right now is her.
Well, now to cheer us all up, let's do some really dumb news.
Let's do
stupid news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Andrew Lee and his Etsy store, which you can find by going to etsy.com/shop/AndrewJL or just visit AndrewJL.com. Andrew says, quote, my custom leather business is Andrew JL Leather. I made custom leather goods, custom leather cigar cases, leather book covers, pouches, laser etched keychains, wallets, etc. End quote. Check it out at etsy.com/shop/AndrewJL.
Yeah, go check it out. One of our listeners making cool shit.
That's right.
All right, here's your story. First story of the day. A woman delivered her own baby in a car. But not just in a car. You hear about these stories all the time. Okay. Oh, pull over to the Walmart. Exactly. I got to have this baby or whatever. No.
I think Linus from Lost was born in a car.
Exactly. But in this case, she was born while traveling and driving 60 miles per hour.
No. Was she really driving?
I think so. Let me make sure about that.
I don't think she was driving.
No, limits. You're right. It was in the passenger seat. I was hoping she was driving.
It was a Tesla. It was on auto.
Yeah. Yeah. The robot was getting them there. She gave birth to this kid at 60 miles per hour. Her partner sped through flooded roads trying to reach a hospital in Cumbria.
It is appropriate because that's where he was conceived, in a car going 60 miles an hour.
Yeah. Try to do all your big moments at 60 miles an hour.
Or she, I guess. She was conceived.
Yeah, there you go. Her name is Chiara Musetti, age 28, was just minutes away from Furness General Hospital when baby Sienna popped out as her partner, James Spence, 32, rounded a roundabout.
Oh, those roundabouts, they'll do it to you every damn time.
Yep. You want to be late for something? Get in a roundabout. We have one here that nobody knows how to use. Everyone's stupid. They're all stupid.
Really?
Oh my gosh. We know how. We know exactly how it works.
Yeah. I even know how to do it the opposite way, thanks to Ireland.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Like, if you've had enough experience with a roundabout, it should not be a problem. But there are people who live here that are just like, I'm in the circle, so I'm just flooring it. I'm not yielding anything.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dumbasses. They're so dumb.
If they're in the circle, they don't need to yield. It's the ones coming into the circle from outside.
Yeah, that's a good point. So this lady had the baby. They stayed calm as best they could. You know, obviously it's hard to have a baby, but little Sienna.
Could you turn the radio down?
she's okay though. Baby's good.
Good. So
congratulations to those people. I don't know where Cumbria is. It's in the UK somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, Cumbria.
Yep. Here's a fun story about fake meat.
Okay.
I'm into right. this. So some faux meat burgers made from maggots and mealworms are on their way.
Yeah.
And so this is going to get us into a conversation about would we or wouldn't we eat this. Anyway, dinners have been increasingly warm to the idea of burgers made from peas and coconut oil, crab cake crafted from artichokes and kelp, and chicken nuggets formed with gluten and tapioca starch. But big food producers are betting they'll soon welcome crickets, beetles, mealworms, and maggots into the mix as well. Everyone's looking at the environmental impact of sourcing food, so there's a lot of growth potential, says Taiwanat Kesavan. Group Director of Innovation at Canned Tuna Producer Thai Union Group PCL, which is diversifying into insect proteins. And we already, like, I've got a bunch of dog food here that's all cricket protein.
Oh, really?
And the dogs love it. They freaking love it.
It is an animal, isn't it? Is it not still considered, I guess an insect isn't meat?
No, but it's a protein
carapace. I mean, it's
it's considered it's a safe to eat protein, and it provides the proteins you would get from meat, and does it in a way that's actually healthier for you, but also way less. Like, what is it like?
I mean, we've eaten crickets on the show. I've eaten scorpion.
Well, but so you won't have the idea here is it being burger form. You won't even know the difference.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You're eating a double animal style.
Yeah.
And it's
and supposedly, like, you'll save, I forgot what it was with the dog food. It's like 400,000 gallons of water a year would be used for your dog's food to be produced. Mm-hmm. Or you could go the cricket way and it's like cutting 90% or something of how much water it takes to do a thing.
And we don't give the dogs the option. We say, would you like your food to be made out of maggots and crickets?
Yeah, and they don't know.
No.
No. Those are bugs.
Ruck you, Raggy.
Ruck off. I'm grieving. You people are crazy.
What's in those Scooby snacks?
Ruck off, Raggy. All right. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, vegetarians wouldn't eat them still because they're living beings, right?
Yeah, because they're, right, it's still an animal product.
Yeah. Insects are, after all, animals. But evangelists say the 2,000 or so species of edible critters have low carbon footprint and require less than livestock and many grains. That part's pretty much undisputable. The question is, are we going to get used to this idea of that burger patty being made out of a bunch of crickets?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know about the... I mean, I'd do it if you didn't tell me about it, right? So it would have to be a situation where after I ate it, you could say, by the way, you remember on TMS when you said that you'd eat a burger if it was made from mealworms and crickets and maggots? You just did.
Yeah.
But I couldn't do it if you said, Brian, here's a burger. Enjoy it. And it's made from crickets and maggots and mealworms.
For me, if you said mealworms, I'd be more attuned than I would if you said crickets or maggots. Maggots, oh, I'd
be
associate.
Right. Crickets I'd be still be okay with, but the maggots is where I kind of draw the line.
Where I struggle with crickets is they've got like hard edges to them and shells and like legs and things. Yeah. Or at least mealworms are kind of just a meaty little worm, you know?
And can we just go back to eating dolphins? I mean, things were so much simpler.
Yeah, life was easier when we just killed a dolphin.
Life was easier when we just could eat dolphins.
Yep. That's my dolphin. That's as good as I had right there. That's all I could do. That's the best I have. Sorry, everybody.
Bobby Frank says, so you'll do something if you didn't know you were doing it? What a brave statement, LOL. Well, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, but the difference is that I want you to tell me afterwards, right? So it's not like, nope, if I ate it, I don't even want to know I ate it. Go on with my life.
Yeah.
I think the brave statement is saying, by the way, you just ate cricket or you just ate maggot. It's like,
yeah, and then you not throwing up right then or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's where the bravery comes in. It's a tiny bit of bravery, but I'd say it's still bravery.
Well, when I was in China, when I ate those dog tongues, I didn't know what they were until I ate them, and then they told me.
Yeah.
And so I started to wonder, would I eat them again knowing that I'd already eaten them and it was fine?
Right.
No, I think I wouldn't.
Yeah.
They grossed me out to know that. I don't know. Like, there are parts of the world that are already used to this. They're eating mealworm-based food, and they're already eating crickets by the handful and everything else. So they're going to be fine. But I don't know. You got a cultural problem here. We got to work on it.
And I'm fine with the Beyond Meat. My only issue with the plant-based burgers is that the way they're currently producing them, there's not a calorie difference because they add so much salt to make it taste burger-like.
Yeah. Too much sodium. I agree.
You know, if I'm going to be, I happily do it, but I'm going to eat that, I want to lose weight doing it.
Not only that, the process of making those meat alternatives is not it's not a giant cut in the carbon footprint. Like, you're actually not saving that much. Right. So there's the health benefits and the vegan benefits and all of that, supposedly, but the environmental impact is still pretty strong. I'm all for like an alternative thing. And what I want is them to figure out the lab grown meat. I want them to get that nailed down. Yeah. So you take DNA of a steak, you know?
Right.
And you grow it in a lab and just do it so well that it's like the perfect steak. We're good. We're golden.
Well, Joey Pants to come on and tell me, I know that this steak was grown in a lab, it's the most delicious steak I've ever eaten.
I just saw him in my recommendal this week, which I'll talk about.
Oh, can't wait.
On Wednesday,
Beverly Hills. No, not Beverly Hills Cop. Was it Beverly Hills Cop? No, it was Running Scared that we had the first appearance of Joey Pants with the red mohawk.
I think it's the first time I ever saw him ever.
Yeah, me too.
Very young in that. The one I saw him in here is a little later. Let's see, that would have been 88, my movie that I watched.
Okay.
I watched movie.
Can't wait.
I watched
second of my two recommendals last night, and it was also very good.
Really? Yeah. Okay. We're going to find out tomorrow on recommendals. Yep. All right, final story here. A Bay Area, that's, you know, there's San Francisco and all that business. A Bay Area horse molester is sentenced to jail, finally.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, you can all unlock your doors, everybody. That guy is
just
going
say
to jail.
Nay.
Yeah, say nay to to this. A man who sexually molested horses at an equestrian center in the Marin Headlands was sentenced to 210, I don't know why I said 12. 210 days in jail on Tuesday.
Because you wanted it to be a palindromic number.
I think I did. Yeah. I think I did.
Deep
I think
down, secretly, you want everything to be palindrome.
Part of me wants every number to do a pattern.
Yeah.
I can't help it.
I get it. I believe it.
Koshin Dion Baker, age 23, who was ordered to register as a sex offender for life and stay at least 100 yards from the crime scene, the Presidio Riding Club, as well as other stables and barns. Do you really have to sign up to be a sex offender? Not sign up, but... You know, register as one because it's the horses you're after?
I don't know. I mean,
man, that just seems odd. Like, do you have to explain? You go to your new neighborhood and the neighbors are like, we hear he's a sex offender. It's just horses, I swear.
But I don't know if that makes it.
I don't know what it
makes it a weird, not better, not worse. It just makes it a weird. Worse.
It is weird, weirdly worse. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's really weird.
Because I don't want to see, I mean, God, it's horrible if it happens to a kid.
Yeah.
So I can't really say what's worse if it's a horse, but it just feels like, I think our kid might still be in danger even though this guy's molesting horses.
Yeah. Like,
he's a child molester. Well, at least our horses are safe.
Yeah, if he's capable of the one, you worry about the other, or you worry just that the guy's unstable.
Exactly.
And yeah.
So at some point, the horses aren't going to do it for him anymore.
Yeah. He says the brutality. The Martin County, Marin County District Attorney Lori Frugoli says the brutality.
You're your family.
She says. The brutality of the defendant's act is reprehensible, she says. Whether the victim is a human being or animal, there's no place in our society for this kind of cruelty. Well, I agree.
Agreed.
Rangers found a vehicle crashed near a ditch when he tried to run away. In the interview, the defendant admitted to crashing his vehicle, breaking into the buildings to get tools to get his vehicle out, and then sexually assaulted the horses while he was there. He further states he was under the influence of mushrooms while the events occurred. Well, that could be a huge part of this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I hope when the judge sentenced him, he said, all right, the number of years you're going to be sentenced to is.
He banged it out however many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do that so that the listening audience could enjoy it as well. But that would be 210 times.
By
so.
The way, I can make laugh. I can make Van laugh uncontrollably just by doing a horse noise. All I have to do is go. and he loses it. He thinks that's sure, hilarious yes. for some reason.
Are we get Opie?
All right, we're going to take a break.
I made that word when I dropped all my Scrabble tiles on the floor.
Yeah, like, Obi, that's not a word. Moops. I'm sorry, the card says moops. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time to spend some time with Bill Duran making things. We're going to have a science segment with Bobby. All that and more coming around the bend, but Brian has to play a song first.
Sure. Well, here is a band that is touring... touring the U.S. with Dropkick Murphys, and it won't surprise you because this band feels like, oh, well, I'm listening to these guys, and then I'm also going to be in the mood for some Dropkick Murphys. These guys are Celtic punk The Rumjacks. They have a brand new album coming out February 11th called Brass for Gold. I guess it's an EP. This is the second single they've released from the album. It's called Blood Soaked in Chorus. Here are the Celtic punk heroes, The Rumjacks.
What are you doing? What are you up to these days? I don't know. A lot of people are thinking about therapy this time of year. It's just the right time to do it, you know? It's getting cold out. Moment to think to yourself. And I don't know. The best way to think about therapy is through a bunch of analogies, really. You know, we get our cars tuned up to prevent bigger issues down the road, right? That's the thing we do. It's worth checking in on. We get our annual checkups to go to the gym to maintain, you know, physical wellness, or we go to the gym to do that as well and prevent injury, disease, that sort of thing. You get that yearly, you know, checkup with your doctors. Good. And we do chores regularly to avoid big messes. Nobody wants a roach running around. Keep that house clean. Well, going to therapy is like all of these. It's routine maintenance on your mental and emotional wellness to prevent bigger issues down the road. Going to therapy doesn't mean something's necessarily wrong with you. It just means you're investing in yourself to keep your mind healthy. As you know from listening to the show, you know, my sister Wendy, who's a therapist also, you know this stuff's important. You know what matters to you and those around you. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anybody on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can't start communicating so quickly in traditional methods. You can start doing that right away, like in 48 hours or less with BetterHelp. Why invest in everything else and not your mind? Taking care of that car, but not your own mental well-being? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And the Morning Stream listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/MorningStream. That's BetterHelp.com/MorningStream. Go do it now.
Sometimes when I'm feeling down, I think back on all the pizzas I've ate.
The Morning Stream. A little dab will do ya.
We're back, everybody. That song again was?
That song, The Rum Jacks, from their upcoming EP, Brass for Gold. It's a new song called Blood Soaked in Chorus.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Punish props time. We're going to talk to a real maker now. The maker. And I don't mean a giant worm on Arrakis. Named the maker. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about.
But you are talking about the person that C-3PO thanks when he goes into his hot oil bath.
Oh, right, that movie. Maker. Yeah. Thank the maker. It's Bill Duran.
Your bat cave is open maker. There, Bill.
That was a good Anthony Daniels or whatever his name
thank
was.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Bill Duran joining us, maker extraordinaire and purveyor of all things punishprops.com. Bill, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
Good morning. You too.
I feel like it has been a couple. Oh, yeah, because I was gone last Monday, right?
I think you were sick last Tuesday, yeah.
Or Tuesday. That's what it was. Oh, yeah. Tuesday, I was sick as a pig. And mm-hmm. I went in for the COVID test that morning. That was the morning.
That's what it was. Test. Yes. Right.
Yeah. And then the forgotten the wallet and then go back. Yeah. That whole thing. Oh, my gosh. It feels like a million years ago. Anyway, Bill, having you around is just such a treat. And here we are, the holiday season, trying to find out what we should be making for each other instead of just buying. And I thought maybe you'd be the guy to ask. Actually, you don't have to talk about that if you don't want. But hey, Bill, what's going on this week in the world of making?
You should make stuff for your family and friends. I made some stuff for gifts myself.
I agree.
Good practice.
Yeah. Why not?
We recently put up a video, last week we put up a video of a prop tour in our basement.
Oh, yeah. But that's fun.
Yeah, so we put most of our props up on the wall in our studio. And I like that because when we film our videos now, you can see them all in the background, but that means people have been asking about them. Mm-hmm. We've been making these things for well over a decade, and there are an awful lot of them. So we put up a tour of me walking around and talking about all of them.
Yeah.
In fact, there were 118 of them that we cover in this video.
Look at that. Oh, my gosh. This is so cool.
Do you guys have a good security system? I'd worry somebody's going to see this and go, man, I'm going to break in there and take all those cool props because they're rad.
As far as anyone knows, we live in Fort Knox.
Great.
Yeah. What is he going to say? No, actually, we don't have don't even lock our doors at night.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So,
wow. That's
great. We 118 of them. We didn't even cover everything. I'm sure there's more things around here somewhere that I missed.
Yeah.
What's funny is I never really set out to be a collector. I don't really collect things. But my life kind of just attracts this stuff.
You just can't get rid of the things you make.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also that. So many of the things I have up on the wall are things I made, most of them anyway. Mm-hmm. But some of the things I made are things that were purchased or gifted to me. And I wanted to talk about prop collecting because it is a big world. You don't even have to be a maker to get props. You can just collect them if you want.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different types of props you can collect.
So, do you dump the props into the thing?
Yeah, you dump the props into the thing. I don't know how you have so much room. I mean, I know, you know, you at some point you would have to either bigger place to store it all or start getting rid of stuff. But do you find that's a challenge? Just, you know, keeping it all and
definitely a challenge. We don't have a dining room anymore. We got rid of our dining room table to turn it into an office.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the office is full of props.
Yeah.
And the spare bedroom is full of props.
Yeah.
And then there's a bunch of them in the living room. And then there's the whole basement shop, which is just full of props.
All right, you keep going like this, and you're going to one day be my favorite episode of Hoarders. It's going to be an amazing episode.
Oh, yeah.
Because it won't just be like cat turds and newspapers. It'll be like
it'll be like, well, I made these cat turds out of resin. And right? These newspapers are made out of foam.
Yeah, there'll still be plenty of cat turds and paper. But,
Yeah.
No, that's great. I don't know how you do it, but, you know, this business you're in necessitates the physicality, right? It's not like my world where almost everything is digital. You got to have a lot of physical stuff.
Well, and who would trust a prop maker that didn't have props all over his walls, right? Like, I mean.
Great point.
Oh, you've got one of those. I've got that little extra hands. A bendable thing with all the roach clips on it. I have one of those too, and I put it on my chest and put some sunglasses on and pretended I was Dr. Octopus.
Nice.
Perfect. Nice.
Good. You look like Alfred Molina sometimes.
I do.
Yeah.
Hello, Peter.
Hello, Peter. I'm back with a lot of makeup and CGI to look good.
Hello, Peter.
Anyway, sorry, Bill. Continue with your tour.
Yeah. So one of the types of props you could collect would be a screen used prop, and I'm here to tell you that Hollywood makes a lot of them.
Yeah.
So they're out there, and they keep making them. They keep making new stuff. So there are websites like the Prop Store, which I've talked about before on here. They auction off screen used props, and there are several other websites like them. And if you look on eBay, you can find screen used stuff. Authenticating things like that is the tricky part. So if you buy something off eBay, it may not be authentic. Websites like Prop Store do a great job of screen matching and authenticating the stuff that they sell. So if that's your jam, like if you want, you know, a prop from your favorite movie, that's the place to look.
Oh yeah, I just noticed they got the gun and the vest from the Punisher TV show that's just up now. Mm-hmm. And let's see what they're asking for this business. Let's see.
They'll usually put an estimate on there because these are auctioned off, so the price is variable.
Yeah, it looks like it's in auction now. Oh, they don't have a price. Weird. Okay. So it sounds like they're, what do I hear for the thing? And then they...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
So now, obviously, like, you can try and buy, like, a hero prop or a screen-used costume. Those tend to go for big bucks in the tens of thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of other props that can be had for a song. So looking for things like smaller props, handheld stuff, or things that they made many copies of. Mm-hmm. So, for example, sometimes they need currency for a movie. And they'll get a bunch of funky alien currency printed, and then they just got piles of this stuff lying around. That stuff can get sold off for cheap.
Sure.
Also, look for props from movies that weren't very good.
All right.
Frequently, the props are amazing, and people aren't interested in them because the movie wasn't very good.
That's a really good point, right? Like, you could have a crappy prop from Dune, but it will go for so much more money because it was Dune. Mm-hmm. But you can get a great prop from, I don't know,
Who's talking to.
Yeah. A Bruce Willis head baby or something. I don't know what you'd get from there, but yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So like your crappier made sci-fi and fantasy type epics that nobody cares about, you're going to find some rad swords, guns, and that sort of stuff, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. So keep an eye out. If you just want something from a movie or a TV show, look for that.
Yeah.
Now in my collection, I don't have anything that's actually screen used. I've never tried to purchase anything like that. I do have a couple of things that were used in production, though. I have a resin casting of a blaster from the original Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
So it's just a blank resin casting. It hasn't been painted or anything. It wasn't used on screen, but someone on the production had the mold and then ran some copies and somehow I got one.
Right.
I have the same thing, a resin casting of a belt buckle from one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I also have a chunk of metal from Mythbusters. It's a piece of one of the things they built that was cut into small pieces, and I got my hands on one of them.
That's cool.
So I have a small chunk of metal.
That's awesome. I mean, that's kind of like getting a piece of the Berlin Wall for nerds, you know?
Right. Yeah, it definitely is. I cherish it.
I just looked. Now, nothing from Hudson Hawk or Spice World.
Oh, sadly. Man.
You have to look at, like, what's your favorite bad movie? And then just kind of go from there.
Yeah. I look for Fury Road, and they've had some Fury Road auctions on here, but they're all gone. Yeah. It's done.
Mm-hmm. Super expensive.
Yeah. It's bad.
Now,
unfortunately.
Now, if you don't get your hands on a screen-made prop, you can get a fan-made prop. And nowadays, there's tons of artists you can find on the internet that will sell you a fully finished replica prop.
Yeah.
Etsy and eBay are great places to look for that. The junkyard on the replica prop forum is another good place, although you need to have an account in good standing to access the junkyard. You can't just sign up and start buying stuff. And then digging around on Instagram is another great way to find artists who do prop commissions. I used to do prop commissions. I don't anymore. I only want to make videos. But there's still a lot of people out there taking commissions. You can just straight up buy a Mass Effect gun from them if you want.
Yeah, obviously you'd rather be making videos of the work you're doing, but why is it that you would, like, just for any other burgeoning dudes out there, is there a reason why you don't want to make props commissions anymore? Like, commission work not just doesn't do it for you, or what's the deal? Like, just too much focus, or what?
Yeah, the main thing was we shifted, especially once Britt started working here full time in 2015. We shifted our focus to educational content, and that just takes up all of our time. I don't have time to do individual commissions for people unless there's a special case for a friend or someone with a giant pile of money.
Yeah.
I can always make time.
Yeah.
I absolutely have a price.
You never say never, I always say.
Oh, I am available, yes.
Yeah, I am available.
But to accomplish what we want to do with the educational content, we had to put all of our focus on it. So that's the main reason why.
No, that makes sense. Very cool.
Now, I have quite a few props that I got fully finished either as a gift or so. I actually bought a handful, too. Sometimes one of my friends will be selling a prop, and I need that. I'll buy it. Nice. And then, of course, you can get fan-made kits, and I have tons of these. So since painting and finishing can be the most time-consuming part, lots of artists will just sell the raw casting or a raw 3D print for you to go paint at home. And it's kind of fun to, like, collaborate with someone. I have a bunch of these, and it's fun when I see one of these props up on the wall because it's like, hey, my buddy Harrison made that, and then I painted it, and it makes me think of him, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Then, of course, you could just make all of your props from scratch. It's mostly what I've been doing for the last 10 years.
You're a scratch propper.
That's how you can build your prop collection.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Well, I recommend this video highly. It's nice to see all the stuff. Every once in a while, one will pop up, and I'm like, I remember when he came on the show and talked about that the week he made it whatever.
Most of the ones we talk about have videos if you want to go watch them.
Yeah. It's very cool. So go check that out. Punishprops.com, of course, has the featured video right there in the YouTube channel as well. Hey, Bill, you got a little extra bonus content this week?
I sure do. Dropped a link in the chat there. If you look up Miniature Howl's Moving Castle on YouTube, you'll find this Studson Studios. This guy does a bunch of, like, miniature work. He built Howl's Moving Castle out of garbage, and it looks amazing.
Oh my gosh.
It looks so good. Wow. It also looked like it took forever.
Oh, that's interesting. He's just, like, if you got old Tupperware or old containers, you basically have shapes, and then you make those shapes work for... Oh, that's freaking great.
That is incredible.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm not good. This person's good. That's
how I feel, too.
If I've learned anything, it's that this person's great, and we are all are not great. Yeah. Nobody's great.
Wow.
That's my takeaway.
All the rivets. Holy cow. So many rivets.
That's my
a lot of effort went into the video, too. I'm very, very impressed by the whole thing.
I think it's my favorite of the Miyazaki films. I love that one. There's something about that castle. That's the main
really?
Gig.
Yeah. I'm a Spirited Away guy, but I still do like this one a lot.
Spirited Away is cool, especially because it's got that weird ghost thing that eats furniture and then throws it up or whatever it does. That's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really nailed the why people love that movie. Bill, always a pleasure. I hope you have a wonderful continued Christmas season. I guess we'll talk to you one more time before Christmas.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
No, I don't think
one.
We will.
No, won't.
Oh, yeah, we will. I'm sorry, we will. 21st.
Done. Yeah. Yes. We got one more with Bill.
We got time. We got Bill.
Bill Duran, everybody. Punishprops.com, of course. Carm.com. Plus, you can follow him on Twitter at Chinbeard. Bill, have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye now. All right. Well, that's a thing we did.
That is a thing we did.
Yep.
And we now, did it well. And
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
do it again.
If we did it well, we can't. We don't know. You'll have to tell us.
Yeah.
But now Bobby's in, and he's in to win. Hold on. Here he is. Hi, Bobby. Oh, wait. I got to play your freaking deal. Hold on.
Science.
There he is. Hey, Bobby Frankenberger, joining us as our science correspondent and the host of All About Science or All Around Science. Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, run on over here, Bobby.
Yeah, why don't you run here and be real sweaty and stuff when you get here? How was your? Let's talk about that. How was your run? How was the
it
marathon?
It was very sweaty. So, so it's in December, of course.
Yeah,
and all. Leading up in the month or two leading up, it was getting colder than normally it does in South Carolina. So I was feeling really good about that. And even just a week ago, it was nice and cold and all my runs were really great and comfortable and cold.
Yeah.
And it's like Mother Nature decided to save all the warmth and humidity just for that one day. suddenly nice and warm and muggy. There was like a fog warning the morning that we started. It was so humid outside but it cleared up about halfway through. But yeah, 26.2 miles is a long time, a long distance. My legs still hurt.
Yeah, that's a lot. Full marathon. And you said on your Facebook post, I noticed that you, for some reason you got small. There we go. You weren't sure you'd do another marathon, but you felt like a bunch of half marathons were maybe in your future. My takeaway from that was like, all right, he had the goal. He worked up to the goal, did all the prep, got the goal. And now he can be Galadriel and recede into the West or whatever. You can kind of just do your next, you know, do a little things and become the kind of runner you want to be, not Mr. Max runner all the time.
I think my takeaway from that was I love half marathons. I'd done many times throughout my training. So I've done those and those are fun. And I could do that. I think in the days since the marathon and thinking back, I think I could be convinced to do another full marathon, especially if I think I could do another full marathon if you didn't tell me I was doing a full marathon. Brian, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Like that, like crickets, Brian. There's no crickets in your food. You'll be fine. I won't tell you until after.
In all seriousness, I do think I could do another full marathon. I think I would like to eventually. I just don't know when that's going to be. It was really hard though, so I would definitely have to train up for it again.
You remind me of the women in my life, specifically Kim and my sister. I have sisters who all did this thing where it felt unique to childbirth, but maybe it's like a marathon. They had their first babies, and it was really hard. Like, you know, and especially if they went natural and didn't have any painkillers or whatever. Kim did this twice. And in the throes of labor and right after, you're like, okay, I can't do that again. I can't do that again, right?
Right.
But then a little time passes, you're like, all right, gearing up for the next one. Let's go. Let's do this. And maybe that's kind of happens with runners.
Tina held to that. She says, no, I'm not doing this again. And we never did that again.
That was the last time Brian had sex.
You do the 150 miles.
Yeah, the MS-150. And every year I say, yeah, this is my, after I finish, I'm like, all right, I think this might be my last year of doing this. And then, you know, spring rolls around. I'm like, no, I'll totally do it again. And I always say that I don't do the full 150. I just ride to the next stop or the next, what do they call those, pit stop.
Yeah.
And then if I feel fine, I keep going. And that just has gotten me all the way through year after year, whenever we don't get taken off the course because of rain, whatever, you know, COVID, that sort of thing. And you probably had something similar, right? Or I don't know. Do they have pit stops on a marathon? They probably don't on a marathon, do they?
No, on a marathon, they do sort of. I mean, more or less they do. They call them water stations or water stops.
Yeah,
And it's like about every 2 miles or so, depending.
And you actually stop and drink water as opposed to like when you're running and they just throw water in front of you and you grab it. And
Yeah, well, you can stop or keep going. I usually kept going. A lot of people, will walk through the water stations, like they just make that part of their plan, and that's what I did for the most part. There are two or so that I had to stop and sit down for because I hit a major. My time was about 5 hours and 20 minutes. I was going to be. It was a little bit less than that. I was hoping to hit around 4.5 miles, or 4.5 hours. But I hit a huge wall at about 18 miles where I had to walk for most of the rest of it. And that was because I probably didn't pace myself very well at the beginning. And this is the first time I've done a marathon, so there was a lot of learning. So for a couple of those water stations, I had to sit down. I was having some cramping in my legs, so I had to sit down on the side of the road and let my legs recover for a couple seconds or a minute or something like that, and then keep going.
Yeah.
But yeah, the water stations, they've got water and Gatorade at them. You can, it's just like you see on TV. You can either run past and grab it and throw it in your face, or
just throw the cup on the ground because you're in a hurry.
That's the funny thing. They have these designated what they call drop zones, where you just are. You can throw whatever trash you have. People will like. Plan as part of their run where at the beginning they'll have like a coat on
this giant and styrofoam cardboard box that I get with my big screen TV. I know how we're gonna get rid of it.
Yeah.
Right, people discard their clothing at these drop zones, but it's I don't know, as like a conscientious person, it feels really weird to like run by and have like a paper cup and just like throw it on the ground.
No matter what the context, that just feels weird, but I guess there are people that are cleaning it up.
Here's what I picture,
and you can confirm or deny this, but I picture if you run past, okay, you're the runner, and there's a signal that you know to give if you want it, and that signal is if I run past the station, the drop zone, and I pick up my shirt, that means I want somebody to run over with a finger full of lube or whatever and rub my nipple.
Vaseline.
Yeah, Vaseline your nipples. And then run away. And then you put your shirt. Now you're good for the next, you know, stretch for having your nips.
I knew nipples would come up somehow in all this.
Oh, they
discussion.
Always come up.
Yeah.
Nipples.
I don't know
come
about
up.
That.
But nipples always come up.
Well, there's definitely. I mean, you gotta consider your nipple care during a run.
Yeah, take good self nipple care is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I used that Body Glide stuff I've talked about. I just rubbed deodorant sticks on my nipples, basically.
Oh, that's fantastic visual. I'm glad you gave us that.
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly what you're picturing. That's what it looked like.
Wonderful. Hey, so in the midst of all of that, did any amazing science ideas come to your head, or you know, what? How do you want to do today? What's on your mind? What are you feeling?
I figured we would end up talking about the marathon a little bit, and I was too tired to prepare much science news.
Gotcha.
So I did come up with some. I came up with a list of fun winter science facts that we can pick from if you want.
Oh, fun. Yeah, I like this. Yeah. Let's do it. It's cold now. I'm freezing.
I don't know how fun they really are, but we'll
give me the judge. Winter science facts.
Yeah. Do you guys get blizzards much where you are?
Sometimes.
We do, or I do, yeah.
Sometimes. It's been a while, I have to say. We've had a weird couple of winters where we don't have near the snow we are used to getting, but there are some winters... Yeah. On record here that are
there's a Dairy Queen maybe 3 miles away from me and we get
you took my joke.
Nicely done, Brian. Nicely done.
Randy on Film Sack all the time.
That was good.
We have to make a Dairy Queen joke, at least one of us does. The blizzards, one piece of, I was looking up some, in looking for the science facts, I did find out there's a strict way that they define blizzards, and it's a visibility reduced to a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
Winds of 35 miles per hour or more.
Yeah.
And it has to last at least 3 hours. I didn't know that.
Oh, those are your three caveats. Well, I've definitely been in one of those then. We had a drive home from Park City once, and the entire thing was in those conditions. It was bad, like real bad. And it was in a Honda freaking Civic, I think, which is like, you know, a fine car. But conditions as they were was not the best thing to have in the middle of a blizzard. But it's been a while, and I'm kind of grateful. I mean, on the other hand, it's also signals some weird climate change here where we're not getting the snow shed or the watershed we're used to. So that's kind of bad.
Right.
But I remember the last really big one. Kim was out in it visiting her sister I was working home that day. It was before, I guess this is before I jumped out. So it's been like 07, 08. And, but for some reason I was home that day, thank goodness, because my kids were little. And Kim got out there and was doing something with her sister. And we got hit with this like sudden blizzard level storm. And she got, tried to come home in it and ended up having to pull over and stay inside of a school or something. It was crazy. So wow. the whole night it just got hosed and everybody got stuck and it was bad. So yes, to answer your question, Brian and I both experienced some blizzards.
Mm-hmm. I lived in northern Minnesota for a year and we had several. I was in like seventh grade though, so my memories are very fun of blizzards.
Yeah, I'll bet. Because when it happens when you're a kid, this is not a big, it's yeah. great. You know?
Yeah, it's snow day from school. I mean, there were a
lot of them.
Did you guys get snow days?
Did you know that thunderstorms don't normally happen in winter?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think.
I heard that thunder only happens when it's raining.
Yeah.
I didn't know that song was scientifically vetted, that it was true.
No. Okay. There is a phenomenon called thunder snow, which is an amazing name. Uh-huh.
We get that, which is really weird.
Yeah, it's my AC. Snow. It's my AC/DC cover band. I used to be Thunder Snow. Yeah,
Thunder Snow. Yeah. But the reason thunderstorms don't happen in the winter usually is because you actually have to have warm, moist air that causes thunderstorms. The warm, moist air has to go up over the cool air. So in the wintertime, you don't have a lot of warm, moist air, and you don't get the lightning and thunder phenomenon even when it does snow, even though there's clouds and stuff like that, because the lightning is caused by this circulation of warm, moist air dropping down, ice particles and hail dropping through the clouds, melting, getting shot back up, and like the friction and movement between the clouds causes the bottom of the clouds to be negatively charged, which then forces the ground to kind of change to a positive charge, which then causes night. But that doesn't happen when there's no warm air in the mix.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting.
We have an exception to that rule where we do get thunder sometimes in the winter and during those storms, but it's because of our inversion in the valley.
So we
basically live in a bowl here, a big prehistoric lake bed, which is essentially a bowl with mountains on all sides. And as a result, in the winter, sometimes we get this horrible inversion where the warm air is out on top and the cold air gets trapped. And then what else gets trapped is all of the freaking smog and car exhaust and all the other bullshit we pump out. Mm. And it's horrible. I mean, like, you know, air quality and like we were as bad as the worst town in India or something for like 2 days. And then it lifts. Kind of like fires during the fire season in California. It's just like really, really bad. But I've seen a couple of times during those conditions and it's snowing, you'll hear just distant thunder. It's rare though. So like you say, it's not going to be your typical thing happening.
Yeah, that's atmospheric phenomenon are so complicated and really fascinating. So.
Yeah. Katie Davis says, I love the inversion. Nothing like chewing on your own hair. Yep. Mm-hmm. He lives here. He knows what's up.
Yeah.
Snow. Did you know that snow is 90% air?
No.
Oh, really? Well, I guess that would make sense. Like when you can compact it down so far. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
2.5 cups of water roughly could make a gallon of snow.
So. Oh, my gosh. Oh, wow. That's a lot of stuff.
And vice versa, I guess.
Yeah.
A gallon of snow could melt down to 2.5 cups of water. That's how math works.
Yeah. Well done. You did the reverse there. It was pretty good.
It's a lot easier to do it that way than make snow out of 2.5 cups of water.
Yeah, I don't know why I said it the other way.
So what do you make of how do they make fake snow? Like when a ski resort's like low on snow that year and they have snow machines, how's that
you
even
You can
done?
Make them yourself if it's cold enough if you have an air compressor and a water hose.
Really?
I don't know how you make them, so I'm
basically making a mist in freezing conditions.
That's how you make it. You can there are plans online you can get to do it. I knew someone around here who made one because it gets to freezing temperatures in the wintertime sometimes, but hardly ever at the same time that it rains. Uh-huh.
Right.
So they made themselves a machine with an air compressor and a water hose, and like you said, Brian, basically just putting them together in such a way that when you turn it on, it mists the water
it
and
freezes
it
the air. And yeah. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like the cubic zirconium of mm-hmm. of snow, right? It's
right. And you just don't get. I would assume. Oh, here's an interesting question. Do you still get? You don't get snowflake patterns. You don't get ice crystals like you do with naturally occurring snowflakes, do you? Or does the water freezing when it's in air?
It probably makes some kind of a snowflake shape, but you're not. I bet you're not going to get them as big as natural snow because that floats around in the atmosphere a bunch and collects more moisture.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Because it can take two. It can take like up to 2 hours for a snowflake. See how we segued into one of my other.
Nicely done.
Oh yeah.
It takes a snowflake up to 2 hours to fall down to the earth.
Is that true? Whoa.
Yeah.
That's crazy. 2 hours. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That's a lot. I don't know why that's so surprising to me. I mean, I guess it's going to be, there's variables, but there's some sort of average there, right? So that's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's very light and it just keeps like going
there's left a lot and of right. moving air up there pushing things around. So.
Yeah. Hail, I mean, boy, some of the, because hail just keeps getting more and more coats of moisture until it's heavier than the wind that keeps sending it back up until it finally drops. Yeah. So I'd love to know how long some hail stays.
So I could fire up, I don't know, two episodes of Succession in a row and watch those.
Yeah.
And by the time I'm done, that one that just left will be here.
I like that. That's where you go. It's not like, oh, I could watch the entirety of the movie Jack Frost in the time it takes for a snowflake to wear.
Well, I've been thinking about Succession because I'm behind and I want to catch up because I'm hearing good things about
snow
this new
falls
season.
On cedars. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And that is, okay, that was a fact I didn't know. Give me another one. Give me another big one. What else you got?
Here's
some more on us.
Yeah.
Here's a water and ice fact. Did you know that water freezes, a body of water freezes from the top down? I mean, if you thought about it, you probably knew that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense.
It obviously freezes from the
top. How it's exposed, right? How the air is exposed. Sure.
It probably depends on
how, that is.
I would think how deep. I would think maybe it wouldn't matter because deep depth doesn't matter, but because there's lots of frozen earth and, you know, parts of the world where deep down it's super cold and it, which should freeze water. But I guess you're right. The most immediate access it has to the elements are the top. So that makes sense.
Right. Right. So, and the reason it is because, and water is very unique in this regard because other substances that freeze are always more dense than their liquid counterparts. But water is very unique in that when it freezes and turns into ice, frozen water is less dense than liquid water. Yeah. And so that's why ice floats. But that's very unusual. And the most dense water gets is around 4 degrees Celsius. So what happens is a body of water, which is exposed to the very cold air, the top of it starts, it cools the top.
Yeah.
And then as the stuff at the top gets to 4 degrees Celsius, it all sinks to the bottom. So another interesting thing is that before a body of water can freeze, and this is typically, I'm sure there are exceptions to this, but before a body of water can freeze, pretty much the entire thing has to get to 4 degrees Celsius before it will start. And then it'll start freezing.
So like lakes are a good example of this.
Yeah, yeah, like ponds and lakes and everything.
Okay.
And because of that, that's why, you know, if it did it the other way around, fish would not be able to live through the winter, you know?
Yeah.
Because it would freeze from the bottom up and there would be no place for the fish to go.
Be frozen fish.
Do you think there's a ton of people in Arizona that have no idea what the hell we're talking about today?
What is this snow is and ice they keep ice. Talking about?
Yeah, they don't
are
know
they talking
says.
About cocaine and diamonds?
Because we have those here. I know what those are, they'll say. Says them. Yeah. All right, give us another one. Give us a triumvirate of facts. What's a third one?
Yeah, well, things are better than trees.
Yep.
Science.
Let's see. geese fly south for the winter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you know that they fly in a V formation, and apparently they fly in that formation. That's the most efficient flight formation for them to be in because of the way the wind breaks across their body. So that's
really?
I hesitate to say that's why geese are doing it because they're not like making decisions about.
I think the wind just puts them in that spot.
Yeah, they're not saying.
Oh,
Nobody's okay,
they're trying to go somewhere else.
Nobody's asking the geese, and even if you could, they can't tell us. But it seems like there's probably some method to their madness, right? Some evolutionary.
Throughout evolution.
They play in a V formation because it's the dickish thing to do. Because geese are dicks.
They are
they
dicks.
They tried. The geese who evolved to fly in like a T formation didn't get as far and died.
So. Right, exactly.
The V ones are like,
I do know that like the lead goose changes constantly throughout their flight. Like they swap out who's
I didn't know that. That's
who's cool. leading the V, yeah.
Mm, that's funny. But chat room points out that Flagstaff, Arizona is the snow capital of the country. I know. I know that Flagstaff's
really?
Yeah, Flagstaff's weird. They're up high. There's an elevation thing there. I'm talking like Phoenix and stuff. Phoenix is it's like 85 degrees today, so they think that's winter.
I guess Arizona's big.
Yeah, it's a big state. It's a big state full of wonderful human beings and a few weirdos.
And, it's like my sister used to live in northern Texas, and she said it, you know, would snow every year. And I was like, Texas?
Texas.
How is that possible?
Yeah. How can you do that? Yeah, no, there's
Isn't
parts
it
of
desert.
Even, yeah, there are parts of Arizona, northern Arizona, that are, they're just like here. They just get what they get. All right. I like that fact a lot because geese are dicks and they should all fall out of the sky and be gone. They should
fact.
Be one of them.
Yeah. Geese are dicks.
Yeah. What if geese all died? What actual impact would it have? Really? Think about it.
Canadians
would
be really
I would have no pâté and I would be bummed about
my
occasional French delicacy pâté.
Oh, it's too bad. Isn't that
Is
the,
that
one,
the one where they torture the geese or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah they shove it down
That's
their
what
throat.
Makes it delicious and that's what makes me enjoy it even more.
Oh, because of those dick geese.
Geese, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Do you have one where the goose was extra tortured for the pâté? Ah, I'll take that one, please.
Yeah, somebody the other day, one of my neighbors says he thought he saw Mendoza back at the lake, but I got to think, since that was like a 2014 deal, I got to think that geese is either dead or they don't live that long. I don't think geese are like, they don't live for 20 years,
know.
Do they? I have no idea.
I don't claim to know anything about geese other than their flying formation efficiency.
Yeah, like a big vagina in the sky. That's what they do. All right.
I think foie gras and pâté is the same thing, isn't it? I thought those two were the same
thing. Foie gras is, I think, from ducks. So.
Right.
Is that tortured ducks then? Is that the deal?
Tortured ducks. Okay. Yeah. Can I get the pâté or the foie gras from the duck that slowly walked across the street in front of my car and stared at me the whole time?
You want
and
specific
then stopped
revenge?
Halfway through?
Yeah. You want specific revenge against that one duck? I like it.
When speaking of running, when I'm running and there are geese, they don't give a F. Like they will not move.
Yeah. No,
they're
they
just
don't
like,
care.
You're running here. Okay, you can go around us.
Hate your guts. There's nothing a goose won't do to make your life worse than it was before you saw him. That's just the rule. Yeah. Well, Bobby, this has been enlightening. I feel filled of new ideas, facts, and concepts around the scientific use of snow that I didn't expect to get today. And some bonus stuff about running real hard. So why don't you tell folks where more of this sort of thing can be found on your podcast and how they can get it?
My podcast, where we talk about science every week and science news and just whatever we're thinking about and interested in science, is called All Around Science. And yesterday, an episode released where we talked, it's a Christmas-themed feature on our episode where we talked about virgin birth.
Ooh.
Oh.
And the science about, did you know that there are creatures in the world that do have virgin birth?
They reproduce asexually.
It's not exactly the same as asexual reproduction.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's literally.
Oh, well, I gotta learn. I want to learn what this is.
Yeah. We're literally talking about an egg, which is
getting fertilized.
The female gamete, an egg being growing into a new offspring without needing fertilization.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm in. I want to listen.
Do they call
and
that?
And we talk about whether
or
not.
Does it get dirty, though? Is this show
getting real dirty? And it's called the Jesus Egg. Tune in. Find out now.
You'll have to listen to find out. But we do talk about, as the final teaser, we do talk about whether or not humans can give birth using what's called, the scientific term is parthenogenesis.
Ooh.
And can humans have virgin births? So you'll have to listen to find out. I'll give you a little teaser. The answer is no.
Oh, damn it.
That's more of a tease. That's less of a tease than just a flat-out answer, Bobby.
But there's an interesting reason why humans can't give birth using with parthenogenesis, and so you'll have to find out exactly that is.
All right.
And you know, what kinds of creatures do it all the time.
I always knew that word, parthenogenesis, from a song called Nemesis by Shriekback, because I think they couldn't come up with enough words to rhyme with nemesis, so they just used parthenogenesis.
Oh, because that's the only one. There may only be the one. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Well, there you
go. All around science. That's what you want to go listen to.
Yeah, go check it out. Bobby, have a great week, and don't run too hard. So we see you all again. Bye now. All right. There goes Bobby. Hey, listeners.
Someone out there knows that song, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, somebody knows it. Right in.
Guacamar. I think Guacamar just said it.
Oh, he did. Yep. Oh, yeah, there you go. He's used there it in the song. Quick email before we leave from Keaton.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, I'm Batman. Just kidding. He says, hey, gang, everyone knows Scott's hatred for George Harrison's I've Got My Mind Set on You. I was always very neutral about the song myself, but when I heard the James Ray original, I found myself really enjoying it. My question is, does Scott hate the song regardless or just the George Harrison version? Love the show. Keaton. I am of the opinion that the George Harrison version ruined the song.
Really?
That was okay when James Ray sang it, but the George Harrison version is so repetitive and so annoying to me that it makes it hard for me to hear any version because all I can think of is the George Harrison version. So there's your answer.
You know what? I totally get that because I hate the original version of Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, but there are covers out there that's like, oh, I kind of like this. So it is separate from the song.
Yeah, it can happen.
Totally is.
That my favorite theory,
the version, not the song.
My favorite theory on that song, where did I read this on Facebook or something? It's not even think it is even that new, but somebody said it's basically the song is about somebody interrupting Paul McCartney and his friends doing witchcraft. And let me pull this up. So we got to go. It's such a long ass title. Simply having a wonderful,
and it's just about all the lyrics to the song.
Time,
too.
Yeah. So I got to find the lyrics here. Here we go. Okay, so I forgot to find the right one. Yeah, here it is. So the lyrics go, they say it's like they're doing witchcraft and then they get interrupted. Here's where the part where they're doing witchcraft. The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight and that's enough. And then someone walks in and goes, what are you guys doing? Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. I like that theory a lot.
Yeah, I like that too. That's great.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right. That's it for today's program. I'd like to point your squinties to patreon.com/TMS. It is the very fuel of our engine. It's how we keep going. So if you would like to support us and get cool stuff in return, there's no better time or place than patreon.com/TMS. And as always, you can find everything else at frogpants.com/TMS. Send us your emails just like Keaton here, themorningstream@gmail.com. We'd love to read them here on the show. I don't think there's anything else going on that I need to mention today.
No,
I don't think so. Yeah, we're good. You don't have anything? You have anything today that you want to?
Hammond and I are recording a soundography, but that won't get posted for a couple weeks till he does some editing on it. You want to know who we listen to? Alice in Chains.
Ooh.
Listen to the entire catalog of Alice in Chains.
Did you come,
Allison and the Chains.
Allison and the Chains, Snuffin' Roosters since 1991. Very exciting. I love that band. Like, unapologetically.
I do too. I knew songs like Wood and Rooster and other hits. Other mainstream songs. And I never listened to their entire catalog. I have the album with the three-legged dog on it, which I think is... Isn't that just called Alice in Chains? That's their self-titled.
I think so, yeah.
The third album or something. Blue, and then I have the Jar of Flies EP. Yeah. But I'd never listened to the entire catalog before. And I got to say, good stuff.
It is. I don't think I've heard anything post Lane Staley. Like after he passed away,
I think there are only two albums post Lane Staley.
Were there?
Right?
Okay.
The Dinosaurs.
Yeah, and they were famous for, they got a guy who sounded just like him. And that was supposed to help or hurt or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes that helps. Kinda sometimes it hurts.
Hey, it helped Journey.
Yeah, it did help. Did it though? Did anyone care about Journey after that, or other than?
Well, people see him in concert, but I don't know if Journey's released anything with Sam Pineda.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, like Alice in Chains, one of the great early grunge era bands. I love them. So that's an episode I think I'll be listening to because I want to hear what you guys say.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff. Brian, let's get out of here. We need to have a song, though. Do you have one?
I have one.
Oh, thank
goodness.
Out
to Troy, a.k.a. Yavang, in chat.
Oh, nice.
Greetings, Scott, Brian, and fellow Tadpooligans. December 15th is my birthday.
Oh, hold on.
Pause. Brian paused.
Wait, I got to play the whole thing.
Happy birthday to you.
And a happy new year.
There you go.
I love it. It is tomorrow, obviously. It also means that we're only 2 days away from the season 2 premiere of The Witcher. I have 3 birthday wishes. I hope everyone has a safe and joyous holiday season. I hope the Nifgardians have less weird-looking armor this season. And I would like to request a song on TMS. Can you play the Dan Vass cover of a Witcher song? Thank you, friends. P.S. Instead of a sound clip, can I get a happy birthday in the song intro done by Tina Brand impersonation? Oh, hilarious.
Oh,
well,
good.
You're getting the clip, and Tina would say, Troy, I hope you have a very happy birthday.
I'm gonna go isolate that and use it. That's amazing. That's really good.
Anyway. All right, so this is Toss a Coin to Your Witcher, of course. This is performed by Dan Vask, V-A-S-C. It's the first 4 letters of vasectomy, in Ooh. Case you were wondering.
Oh,
okay. This is a brand new single he released last year, the metal version of Toss a Coin to Your Witcher.
Ah, fantastic. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We got recommendals and your usually Wednesday nonsense, so please come back then, and we'll see you all then.
When a humble bard graced to ride at home with Geralt of Rivia, along came this song. From when the White Wolf fought a silver-toned devil, his army of elves at his hooves did they revel. They came after me with lance of foam to see, broke down my
show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.